I didn't realize that, but that's true. The whole experience, even though a man usually is only buying for one person usually, it's very stressful. Many a man has felt extreme frigid temperatures in his home based on poor gift decisions. So I want to help you this morning. I'm still not sure what always to buy my wife, but there are some rules and things to operate by. Maybe they'll be a blessing to you. Number one, do not buy anything that plugs in. Anything that requires electricity is only seen as practical, but not special. Number two, don't buy clothing that involve sizes. The chances are, listen, the chances are actually 1 in 7,000 that you will get her size right. And your wife will be perfectly offended at the other 6,999 times. She will say things like, "Do I look like a size 16? And too small a size doesn't work either. She'll say, "I haven't worn a size 8 in 20 years. That's what she'll say. Third, avoid things that are useful. You know, you may see something on the advertisement telling you, "This new silver polish will save hundreds of hours in preparation of the home." But that's not going to win any Browning points with home if you buy her the polish for polishing your silver. That doesn't work. Fourthly, do not buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. I'll just stop with that one. I won't go any further. Do not buy jewelry. The jewelry that your wife wants, you can't afford. And the jewelry you can't afford, she doesn't want. Finally, don't spend too much. She'll say things like, "Now how do you think we're going to afford that?" And if you spend too little, oh man, she won't say anything. She'll think, "Is that all I'm worth?" So some interesting rules in buying. But let me ask you, what's the most surprising Christmas present that you've ever received? When I say surprising, I mean, did it leave you speechless? Unable to say anything? Something that is unspeakable, like being amazed and awed, and the word is overwhelmed. Unspeakable gifts are kind of rare. If you'll take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll show you a scripture. It's just a short verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And the gift that is unspeakable. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Here the Apostle Paul reminds us of something that he calls unspeakable. It is not an object. It's not a thing or a holiday. It's not a gift voucher. But it is a person. The Lord Jesus Himself. I stand in awe, I stand speechless when I consider the wonderful gift that came to this earth that very first Christmas. Just the person of Jesus. When pondered, he causes wonder and amazement in the mind of the heart of a person, any person. Napoleon said this. He was dying. And he was, you know how great men always attract people to ask them, what are they thinking, what are they doing, or whatever. And he said, "I know men. And I tell you that Jesus Christ is not a man. Everything about Him amazes me. His spirit overawes me. And His will confounds me. There is no possible comparison between Him and any other being in the world. He is truly a being by Himself. His birth, the history of His life, the profoundness of His doctrine, His gospel, His march across the ages, all of these are to me a wonder and an insoluble mystery. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have all founded empires. But on what did the creation of our genius rest? On force. Yet Jesus Christ alone founded His empire on love. And at this hour, millions would die for Him. I am at St. Helena, and I die before my time. Him whom the world called the great Napoleon, and I am dying. What an abyss between my deep misery and the eternal reign of Christ, which is proclaimed, loved, adored, and which is extending all over the earth. That was the words of Napoleon Bonaparte. The unspeakable gift is something that is beyond words, indescribable, beyond description. We're speaking of a person named Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. His name was also Emmanuel, God with us. When Paul writes of the unspeakable gift, he's speaking of himself, and he's speaking also of why he came, which is to give a gift, the gift of forgiveness. I'll never forget when I gave a gospel leaflet to a woman on the plane going to the States there last year. And the one word, and she's from Limerick, and the one word that jumped out at her in the entire track, she read the thing right there, and she, as we talked or whatever, and she went silent for about 5 or 6 minutes, and she came back and she said, "I like that." And I thought she liked the track, you know. I mean, I just thought she was really impressed with the layout, the graphics, the color, you know. She said that one word, forgiveness. She says, "I like that." See, that's what the unspeakable gift is. When you sit back and you ponder, it's not the tinsel, it's not the garnishings, it's not the gifts, it's the gift behind the gift. You know, our Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But my, how that verse ends. But the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to go back to that first Christmas this morning and just see how precious that first gift was, the unspeakable gift, because I want you to see that in Matthew chapter 1, it's a surprise gift. It's what this world wasn't expecting. It was a struggle for that gift to be accepted. The gift was a son, thirdly. Fourthly, it was a planned gift, and lastly, it was a life-changing gift. Let's pray one more time. Father, we bow before you and ask you, help us to look once again, see a familiar story, but let it change us once again. Let it thrill our hearts and take the words right out of our mouth. Make us once again speechless, in awe, overwhelmed of such a Savior, of such a lover of our souls, a friend we have in Jesus, our Christmas gift. Bless this study in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to introduce you to the surprise back in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I think we grow used to the events. And we need to be reminded of how amazing and how unspeakable, how speechless you would be if you were in the shoes of these two young people. And please don't buy the modern idea that Joseph was an old man marrying Mary to protect her innocency and stuff like that. No, don't buy that. There were two young people who were madly in love, but were very surprised at their first Christmas. God's unspeakable gift was a surprise gift. At least it was for Mary and Joseph. Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, they had not been married yet. Notice, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now think of that first Christmas. You'd have to admit, be kind of a surprise to find out just how surprising it can be. It was a total surprise. Mary was getting ready for a wedding. She had waited for the right man. Remember, she was still a virgin. What a great testimony. She had waited for the right man. She planned and prepared for a beautiful wedding day, only to discover that now she was going to have a baby. That angel had appeared, as we read in Luke chapter 1, and says, "You're going to have a baby." And she is going to have to explain it to Joseph. A surprise. Not the kind of surprise you would like to experience, I'm sure. And Joseph, she knows, is not going to handle this news very well. How do you explain a virgin birth? Amen? It's kind of hard to explain. I like to use these words. It's unspeakable. It's indescribable. Where do you begin to explain a virgin birth? But that's what Christmas is. Do you know, Christmas is not what we expect, but what God gives. I like Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin and Hobbes is a comic strip of a little bratty 6 or 7 year old boy, and he's got a little teddy bear tiger that he has imagined to be alive. And anyway, he writes out his Christmas list, and he then packs it all in this envelope, and it, you know, it's about an inch thick, you know. And he's pretty upset. He's heading out to the mailbox, because in America you can put your post in the mail and the postman will pick it up as well as deliver it. So anyway, he's headed out there and he's like, And Hobbs, his tiger, says, "Man, do you expect to get all that?" And he says, "I better. Last year I only got half of it." You know, he puts all that work into it. You know, we come to Christmas and we come to life expecting a lot of things. But let me tell you, Christmas is a surprise for a lot of people, because Christmas is not about what we want, and it's really not about what we get. It's what God gives. It's a surprise. And believe me, God always gives much better than we can ever expect. I wish you'd write that down. God always gives you better than you can ever expect. Aren't you glad for unexpected gifts at Christmas? My family, I'm going to point out them. I got to find something to point out about Weston in a moment. But my family loves finding out what each other got before Christmas. So that on Christmas Day, the kids and mom usually say, "Oh, I know what's in that box." I hate that. See, I went to the shop and I got some things, and my wife says, "What'd you get?" I'm not telling you. Why? I'm going to find out. I love the surprise of everybody gathering around and not knowing what's in the gift. Isn't that something? Am I the only one wired that way? Well, I believe God is that way too. He kept some things under wraps until Jesus was born. He loves the thrill of the surprise on people's face. You see, people want heaven. They want prosperity. They want all of... I've gone too far here. I got to move up very quickly. Jesus was a surprise gift. People want heaven, they want prosperity, they want the good life, or they want plenty of fun and friends and money and toys and happiness. But surprise, Christmas is about a gift we weren't expecting, and yet a gift that we desperately needed. Amen? That's why Christmas, to most people, is not about Jesus. When they sing jingle bells, they mean cash register tinging. Amen? They're not interested in why this whole thing started. They're interested in the money they're going to make, and in the economy, and in their house, and in their holidays, and in their toys, and their happiness. But Christmas is about a gift that we desperately needed, amen. It's a surprise. Mary and Joseph were shocked at Christmas. Secondly, God's unspeakable gift was a struggle to accept. Now, don't think that for a minute Mary was just, "Oh, this is wonderful." And Joseph went, "Yes, sir, I hear and I obey. This is wonderful to live by faith." Don't think that the first Christmas was anything but hard. God's unspeakable gift was a struggle to accept. Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man... He was not a filthy man. He wasn't an old man. He wasn't an ungodly man. He wasn't your normal Joe Soap. This was a godly man. Not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. I want you to understand. She comes and she tries to explain in unspeakable words. How do you explain the virgin birth? She tries to tell him, but really it's true. I am going to have a baby, and it's the Messiah, and angels told me, and he's going to be the Son of God. Joseph goes, how am I going to afford this now? I got to buy a house for her, put her away, take care of her. We can't get married. She's been unfaithful. This is a struggle for Joseph to believe. Do you understand that? Take your Bible, turn to Luke. Hold your place here and go to Luke chapter 1. Mary had a bit of a struggle even. Not as much as Joseph. Mary picks up here in verse 26. 126. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be, which means she was confused. She's thrown around the side of her head going, what does this mean? I'm favored. Why is this angel talking to me? Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, look at her struggle, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I am a virgin. I've waited for my husband. I'm waiting till the day we get married. I am not going to throw away my life to just anybody who comes along and winks at me. I have waited for this man. How can I have a child? Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And aren't you glad for the power of the Holy Spirit of God? Shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. She had never had a child, and here she was already pregnant 6 months. For with God, I love this, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, she's completed her struggle. She says, Behold, the handmaid, the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, from there, she goes and tries to explain it to Joseph. Joseph doesn't buy it. Joseph, to him, it was a different matter. All this talk about angels, Mary being handpicked, the virgin birth, fulfilled prophecy, the birth of Messiah, Mary's cousin Elizabeth having a miraculous pregnancy. This was all too much. It would have been easier to believe in a fat Santa coming down a skinny chimney. Amen? Joseph had a hard time accepting the gift of God. Joseph had a very hard time. He decides that the wedding is now off. And I believe me, that was a very painful decision for him. He considers privately divorcing the love of his life. And you know, I got to thinking, many Christmases are struggles. I've already said all that. I'm speaking very fast. Let me give you some struggles. Many Christmases are struggles to just believe in God and to obey God in spite of all the circumstances we put up with. Christmas is one of the hardest times of the year for a person in this modern age when it shouldn't be. The devil sure has had the heyday. For many people, Christmas is only about families apart and hurting. Separations, divorces, anger in the home, bitter divisions. That's what Christmas represents to them. It's a cycle, a yearly cycle that a lot of people would love to run from. Amen? For a lot of people, it's financial struggles. With me, I don't know why all my bills are due at Christmas. ESB, I mean the phone bills, the television license. They all like this time of year. And then you're looking at the cost of things. The kids grow older. You can't buy them a little teddy bear anymore. This thing has to wet, be fed, has to have clothes, has to have a car that's battery powered. I mean, this is what kids are into. They don't get it, but financial struggles for most people. They just, it's been said that a lot of people get so indebted at Christmas, it takes 3 to 6 months to pay off Christmas. There are feelings of failures, depression that comes by seeming to always well, I miss the true meaning of Christmas. And they sort of, they live in this thing, I can't find the true meaning of Christmas. And they feel depressed the entire time. And that's all Christmas is. And you know, it makes for a really tough time for Christmas. Believe me, you're in good company though. That first Christmas was very hard as well. See, if people find Christmas hard, they are not getting actually into the shoes of the people that went through the first Christmas. Do you understand? Just because you find Christmas hard, let me encourage you, so did Mary and Joseph. Following Jesus has never been easy, but it pays off the best, amen? There's no better life to live than the life of the struggling Christian. Do you know why I say the struggling? Because there is no other kind of Christian. Amen? Amen? Do you understand what I just said? There's no better life than the life of a struggling Christian because there is no Christian who's not struggling. Amen? Alright. The struggles. Let me go on to the third point. God's unspeakable gift, go back to Matthew chapter 1, was a son. Can you imagine sitting down on Christmas morning and everyone opening their gifts? And as they're opening the presents and as people are drinking their coffee, someone brings in a brand new baby. I'm talking a few minutes old. Can you imagine how speechless everyone would be? Can you imagine in your home if you were all gathered around the tree and then somebody says, surprise! It's not wrapped in pink, it's just pink. Amen? Do you understand the speechlessness of this first Christmas with a baby boy there? Everyone would drop their packages. Can you imagine the kids would just, I don't care how expensive their package is, when a baby is brought into the room, everybody just gathers around, right? Because that is a true gift. The world has tried its best to replace that baby boy with expensive gifts, fancy Christmas trees, drink, big meals, more drink, family and music, and yet even more drink. Our modern Christmas time is composed of chocolates and sweets and movies and games and toys. And they all pretty well overwhelm the thought of such a person as a baby born in a barn. Amen? See what I... Yeah. But it's still that boy that makes it Christmas at all. Amen? Nothing can compare to that name. Look at Matthew chapter 1, we're looking now, verse 20 and 21. But as he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Was he afraid? Yes. Did he find it hard? Yes. And God had a special servant come to him and say, don't be afraid. God knows what he's doing. You can get through this. I'll help you. Isn't that wonderful? Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She was telling the truth, Joseph. And she shall bring forth, next two words, a son. See, the unspeakable gift is about a boy. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Nothing can compare to that name. Now, you know, people forget that Jesus' name means Savior. Here is the gospel. Christ wants to save this world and rescue it. If you look there in verse 21, he says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. But it means more than just Savior as in general. I like the term friend of sinners. Amen? But Savior is better. I like the term sovereign God. But Savior is better. I even like the fact that he was a suffering servant. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I like suffering servant because he did that for me. But I like Savior best of all. As Savior, he means the rescuer of us from our sin. You know, here's the gospel truth. He didn't want to save us from troubles. He didn't want to save us from bad health. He didn't want to save us from debts and disasters. He didn't want to save us from loneliness. He didn't want to save us from boredom. You know, I'm reading a book called The Heavenly Manna about a Chinese Christian who up until 2001 had experienced prison over the last, I don't know how many, 20 years in communist China. As a matter of fact, he was incarcerated and put in prison for 7 more years simply because he had a church meeting in his home. Don't forget, you have great freedom, folks. This man, Yun, Y-U-N is his name. He never looked to God to save him. He said, I will be in prison as long as God wants me here and not 1 minute more. But I will stay here until my job is done in this prison. He says, there's nobody in here who knows Jesus. I better get to work. You see, he didn't look at Jesus, the Savior, from his troubles. He saw him as the Savior of his soul. And he says, if he's willing to go and to die for the likes of me, I'm willing to live and if need be die for the likes of him. And for souls. You see, we've got Jesus as this genie. When he wants to be Savior. We want him to fix all our problems and all of our past and all of our disappointments and all of our issues. When the Lord Jesus says, listen, you want to burn in hell? Then let me save you. Let me give you a reason to live. And when you hit the struggles, let me go through it with you. You see, that's what he asks. He does not offer a perfect life. You know, here was the Son of God. Remember, Matthew 27 has the centurion, the Roman centurion, who's guarding 3 men on a cross. What a thing to guard. They're not coming down. But he was posted there. There in that darkness, when darkness covered the earth and there was nobody moving around. Everybody in fear stood for 3 solid hours, silence, as God poured out all of his wrath on his Son. And in the end, as the light began to dawn, as the sun was setting, it wasn't an eclipse, it was God darkening this world as he poured out his wrath. And then Jesus crying out, and that centurion looking up, and he heard Jesus say, it is finished. And as he heard those words, he says, truly this was the Son of God. Amen. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He, Jesus, was the only sinless man who ever lived. Why? Because he was the Son of God. He was the only sacrifice that could take away sin. Why? Because he was the Son of God. He was the only Savior who could take you to heaven. Why? Because he was the Son of God. And he is the only satisfaction, the only joy in Christmas that will last and will go on into eternity. He is the only joy in your Christmas. Why? Because he's the Son of God. You see, it's that Son that makes Christmas a truly joyful time. Not just a happy time. Most people I know will have hangovers on Christmas morning. Not these people in this room I know, but other people that I know. Without Christ, there is nothing but bits of happiness on a long road of pain. But for the Christian, he's the real satisfaction. Amen? Now God's unspeakable gift was a planned gift. Go back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. The Holy Spirit has Matthew recall that this was all part of a plan, and to write these words down, connecting this event with an Old Testament prophecy. Matthew chapter 1 verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You know, nothing God does is new. It was all predicted in the Old Testament. Everything God was doing here had already been carefully laid out in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, well, let me just hold that thought for a minute. That's what proves the Bible is the perfect Word of God. I don't need any other proof than that. Now there are 7 things that make that book supernaturally the Word of the Living God. But there's one that outweighs them all. Just prophecy. You couldn't guess the weather tomorrow. And if you did, it'd be 50-50 chance. Try and guess 300 things about tomorrow. Let's see how good you... And if you get all of them spot on. See if you do it. That book right there tells you about one man, where he's going to be born, how long he'll live, how he will die, where he will die, who his mother's going to be, the fact he's going to have brothers and sisters, the fact he'll be betrayed by one of his closest friends, the fact that he'd have 12 disciples that become apostles. The Bible tells you that he would be born in Bethlehem, tells you that he'd be born in Judea, that he would be a Jew, that he would be a light to the Gentiles. I mean, there are 300 prophecies. What more proof do you need? Every one of them came true. 33 of them came true on one day, his death. There's nothing new that God has done. He laid it out in that book of yours called the Bible. The cross reference was to Isaiah 7:14, where a young lady, not just a young lady, but a virgin would have a baby. There in Isaiah 7:14, it wouldn't just be any baby, like a baby boy or a baby girl. It actually tells you it's going to be a boy. It's kind of cute where we come from. And I'm sure it's similar. It's the same here, where when a lady's having a baby, everybody likes to guess, oh, it's going to be a boy. Oh, it's going to be a girl. If you're a boy, you're sticking out real far. Never mind. I have no idea. You know, but that verse tells you a virgin, miracle birth, is going to have a baby, and that baby would be a boy, and not only that, but that boy is going to be God. Amen? How impossible are you going to get? How unspeakable are these words? God with us. You know, everybody likes to read from Luke chapter 2 and from Matthew chapter 1 and 2 for the Christmas story, but the Christmas story began much earlier. It began back in Genesis 3. We had that verse there talking where Jesus speaks to the devil and he says, her seed's going to kick your rear. Amen. Amen. It all started back there in Genesis 3. And did you know it went all the way through every one of the books of your Old Testament all the way up to the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament, Matthew chapter 4. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. The messenger of the Lord shall come into his holy temple. Hey, here comes Jesus. You see, that book was a plan. That book tells us about a planned gift. I like Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 4. This is a cute thought. A lot of people go into town on Christmas Eve and go right up to Christmas, and I pity you. I don't even wish God blessing on you. but honestly, a lot of people like the last minute rush, and a lot of people put off buying the last until the last minute. God's not that way. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says this. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come. That's at the appointed time. That's after everything has been worked out that was planned to be worked out. In the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, to save them that were under the law, that we might receive, praise God, the adoption of sons. God had planned it out long before He created this universe. He knew that when He created mankind, you know what we do? We'd go astray. We'd go our own way, and we'd get into trouble. And we'd need someone to get us out of trouble. So He planned to enter this world Himself and to redeem us. Praise God for good planning, amen? Praise God. When someone shows up just when you need them, and does something that required incredible planning and preparation, and yet did it all without burdening you, only to give it to you freely, what do you think you'll say? Did you hear what I said? When somebody shows up just when you need them most and does something that requires incredible planning and preparation and yet does it all without burdening you with the problem, only to give it to you freely, what do you think you will say? You'll be speechless. Do you understand? This planning that God did removes any kind of boasting from us. Amen? 750 years before Jesus was ever born, there's a prophecy in Isaiah saying Jesus would be born. The planning was to take away the words out of our mouth. Praise God. If I can get this thing. You know, look at Romans chapter 11. One more really powerful scripture. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. This one's a keeper. Romans chapter 11, and verse 33. Romans chapter 11, and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways. Look at them. Past finding out. They're beyond me, amen. It's amazing. It's unspeakable how God just works everything out for good. Isn't that wonderful? Let me just finish with this thought. God's unspeakable gift was a life changing gift. Now you have to admit, go back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 24 and verse 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In those two verses are some thoughts. Number one, look at the faith of Joseph. He's got some confidence now, doesn't he? At first, he's thinking of quietly, privately putting her away, amen? He's thinking of separating himself from her. He can't bear to be around her. Can you imagine if he just sent her home? He lived in the same town as her. Can you imagine him and her so passionately in love? Now, not understanding this event, here he was going to say, no, the wedding's off. He couldn't bear to live in the same village with her. He was figuring, I'll get her a place somewhere. I'll try and hide this thing. Because she would bear the shame of, it looks like an adulterous act. And here he is now saying, let's settle it now. Let's get married tonight. Amen? There's some faith in there, isn't it? You know, faith will do that to you. It'll change you from a fearful, wimpy, pushover. It'll save you and make you into a man or a woman of God. Where when you trust God enough to obey Him, when you trust God enough to stand up for Him, when you trust God enough to take whatever the world wants to dish out at you. Because faith changes you, doesn't it? Looks like Joseph's pretty secure. Oh, people are going to talk. As a matter of fact, as Jesus is in His ministry and He's speaking to people, the Pharisees begin to use some sly remarks that says, we be not born of fornication. You see, they kept count of the number of weeks from the time that you got married until you had a time baby to make sure there'd been no fooling around before. And Jesus' birth was really close. And so there was talk around saying, you were born before you should have been. You need to live with that. People gossip, don't they? Joseph's not worried about it. Aren't you glad? Amen? Aren't you glad? People talk about you. People misunderstand you. People attack you. All you're trying to do is live by faith. Amen? You're going to make mistakes. Things aren't going to be made, made easy for you. Things aren't going to be always understood. And you know what the Lord asks you to do? Live by faith. Amen. Joseph's got some confidence. Faith will make you feel safe and secure as you obey God. Don't sit there on your hind end, sitting there going, well, I'll wait until it's safe. It's only safe when you're obeying God. Don't wait for everything to be laid out like a red carpet. Start living for God and you're living safe. Amen. And confident. Faith will make you feel safe. Faith is you trusting God enough to obey Him, especially when things don't make sense. You think Joseph had it all figured out?
I understand how it's all going to work out now. Oh, yeah.
Come on. He trusts Him enough even when the things are dark, when the situation's not understandable. There's no way. You know what? Every Christian in this room knows. If you're saved, if you read that Bible even more than just a couple of months, you know all things work together for good. Amen. You know it. Faith gives you the confidence to know this life is only temporary. Amen. Joseph knew it. Life was only temporary. Mary knew it. Life was only temporary. Don't fear what man can do to you. You better fear God. Amen. Life is only temporary. Third thing that faith will do to you is it'll help you know that where you're going, to know where you're going when you die, when this life is over. Faith is part of that knowing where I'm going. If you don't know where you're going when you die, I'd say today is a good day to make your destiny sure. That's why Jesus died. He didn't want to leave you in the darkness. He wanted to give you a confidence that you can go forward and not fear the future anymore. Amen. Lastly, we know Jesus. Hey, I know Him. Do you ever think of that? You know what faith is? I talk to Him. He talks to me. He loves me. You know what's going to happen to a lot of people when they've done so many miracles and they've even raised the dead and they've done so many great things in the name of Jesus, and they stand before Jesus Christ one day, and Jesus Christ say, "Who are you? Well, Lord, didn't we do wonderful things in your name? We did miracles, we helped people, we loved people, all in your name." He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Man. You know what's wonderful? I know He knows me. Because I came to Him broken, lost, empty, one day, and I came as a sinner, and I asked, like He offered, for Him to save me. I came His way. And He says, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I know where I'm going. I know all things work together because I know Jesus. You know what Christianity is? It's Christ, not me. Amen. A Christian's faith changes every situation, every trial. You know how it changes it? Because God is allowed to take control again. That's what faith is. Faith is you saying, "Lord, I'll put you in charge." Amen. And I leave you in charge. You just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And I'll go confidently. Joseph's doing that here. You know what he does? When Jesus does get born, you know what Joseph confidently names Him? Jesus. You know there's no debate. He figures, hey, God's brought me this far. Here comes this baby. Everything He's told me to do, I've done. Everything's come out just like He said it would come out. Yeah, it's not all making sense. But here's this boy and He told me to name him Jesus. I'm going to obey. You see, Joseph was living the life of a Christian. He was trusting the Lord in every step. Every step. There are no more struggles. You know, Peter had some struggles. Would you agree? Oh, he had some false confidence. He thought he would never deny. He thought he would never make a mistake. He was, if you read your Bible, he stuck his foot in his mouth more than a dozen times. Things, I mean, I'm sure in heaven, he's very embarrassed that he said, and that he did. But you know what? When that penny dropped, and he realized Jesus is alive, and when the Holy Spirit of God came and gripped his heart and said, "You and me together can take the world." You know what Peter did? There was no more debate. There was no more struggle. It was all by faith. And Peter turned, like Paul, like James, like even Thomas, turned the world upside down by faith. It needs to be done again. Amen. Let me just finish. Somebody's coming to this world, the only Savior, Jesus. Oh, that every home had a complete Christmas this year. That every heart was able to see beyond the struggles and the heartaches of a Christmas past. But that every person knew that there really is no Christmas without Jesus. But that with Jesus, there's really nothing more you could ever want. Let me ask you, what's the best or the most surprising Christmas present that you've ever received? Did it leave you speechless? Unable to say anything? Amazed? Overwhelmed? I think unspeakable kind of gifts like that are very rare. Now, if you want to drop off a BMW out there, I might be speechless. But the most unspeakable gift is not an object. It's not a thing, it's not a gift voucher, but it's a person, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's beyond words. I was reading Song of Solomon. I won't take you there, but you ought to read how his wife says, "He is altogether lovely." You know what she's saying? Every word in the dictionary I want to use to describe this one who loves me. He's altogether, every possible description, that's the lover of my soul. Unspeakable. That's who He is. You know, the gift He purchased for everyone on this planet is the gift of forgiveness. Have you discovered the gift behind all the other gifts? He's the surprise gift. You know, if you sat down with somebody this Christmas week and you said, what are you expecting for Christmas? What do you think they'll say? Oh, there'll probably be any number of half a dozen, if not a dozen things, depending on what age they're at. And say, well, I'd like to surprise you. I'd like to give you a gift that might just leave you speechless. And then tell them about Jesus. Have you struggled to accept Him? Maybe you're in this room and you know there's a difference between where you're at and where a lot of people in this room are at. The difference is only about 12 inches. That's all there is. We're made out of the same clay. We struggle with the same sins. We fight against the same temptations. But some people in this room have come to God broken and lost and allowed Him to save them, allowed Him to rescue them, save them from their sins. And you say, well, I'm struggling. I don't understand. Okay, do you have to understand or can you not take it at face value? Somebody loves you and died for you and offers you the gift of God, eternal life. But you know, that life is not in a church. That life is not in a place. It's not in a pilgrimage. It's not in a hole in a wailing wall. It's not in a special holy place. That salvation is in Jesus Christ. It's in a person being invited into your heart. Allowed to take over. Become Lord of your life. A lot of people struggle with it. I struggle with it. The way to getting to the place of salvation, Jesus calls hard. He says it's a narrow way. But once you get there, do you know what? The door easily opens. You don't have to struggle and get your door. All you got to do is knock and you find out He's been waiting there all along. Is your Christmas centered around a son? Or is it going to be only around that dumb Christmas tree? I love Christmas trees. I love decorating them. I think Sarah's got my heart. She just loves all the stuff all over the Christmas tree. You look at it and you go, man, that's a lot of color. But I love just everything on there. My wife says, that's enough. But the Christmas tree is not the center of Christmas. Not even the gifts. Not even the family. Are you listening? Is the center of Christmas. He is. Is He the center of your Christmas? God's unspeakable gift was a planned gift. The greatest proof that He loves you is that He knows your needs and He's already planned to meet them if you let Him. He wants to first save you. And then He says, I got more plans for you than just heaven. Oh man, you ought to read Ephesians chapter 2. He says that in the ages, that's the millenniums, that's the eons to come, He just wants to show you His love. He just wants to show you what He can do. That you got to understand, He's planned. As a matter of fact, He's made mansions in heaven for absolutely every person who's ever been born and ever will be born. He's planning on people coming home for Christmas. Planning on people coming home. But it's up to you whether you accept the invitation. Lastly, have you allowed your life to be changed? Has it been changed? Transformed is the Bible word by that gift. He wants to save it. He wants to remake it. And you can allow Him to do that today. Will you stand? Bow your heads this morning. And just before we sing a hymn of invitation, that unspeakable gift is a person who is knocking on the door of your heart right now. He asks you to open the door. He asks you to want Him, to love Him, to want to be with Him. You know what most people want for Christmas? Somebody. Gifts are a poor substitute for a person. Well, I've just introduced you to somebody who wants to be that person. If nobody else wants to be with you this Christmas, Jesus does. Father, in this brief moment, take our breath away. remove the ability to even describe how we're feeling. Make Christmas truly unspeakable. Truly overwhelming. Like that first Christmas. And by taking away our ability to comment and examine and analyze, replace it with awe. And replace it with love. And for somebody in this room or somebody's who their struggle is not just with Christmas itself, but with you, may they lay down their weapons. May they fall to their knees. May they cry out to that name which is above every name. And get the free gift. The oh so free gift that is right there. It's not far from any one of us. May they accept the free gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just grab your hymnal, please. 252. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. The song finishes at the top of the next page as it repeats. 252, only trust Him. And the Lord's dealing with your heart. Why don't you talk to Him? I ask everybody, just stay where you are. Let the Lord deal with you. And as we're singing, answer His call to you. Maybe He's dealing with you about being backslid. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with you about missing the real focus of your life is for that Son of God. Maybe you've been missing salvation, being saved by His grace. Would you let Him save you now? Will you? Will you? Don't put it off another minute. 252. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into that crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Amen. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Is there anyone the Lord's dealing with about salvation, about the gift of God? If God is dealing with your heart, talk to me afterwards. Don't go away from here going, well, I guess everybody's leaving. I go, no, don't. Give it all the attention. He gave you every bit of His attention and He still does. You are the focus of every thought of God Almighty. Can't understand that? It says His thoughts towards just one individual are innumerable. He loves you. And the ability to love Him back is the greatest miracle I can ever participate in. Let's sing that last one. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, Only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Thank you for being here. Before we go, we're going to have a word of prayer in a second tonight, 7 p.m. We're back here. I know some of you got things you'd like to do, but let me tell you, this is the Lord's Day. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please, come along. It'll be a blessing for you.